There's no situation too hard for God. No mountain too high. No river too wide. He'll make a way. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him tonight. Thank Him for it. He'll make a way. Glory. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little time tonight, a few minutes, about prayer. The awesome, awesome potential there is for prayer. We thank God. We'll never forget as we sang, Jesus, what you've done for me. But do you know the possibilities and the potential there is for you when you learn what there is available in God through prayer for you? Is incredible what God can do and what He's able to do. And so many of us live so with such a little bit of what God has for us. He's got lots. He's a big God. And He's got lots for His people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let Satan shrink you. You want to expand through prayer and believing God and understanding Him. Hallelujah. Prayer is our means to getting to know God intimately. God wants a close relationship with you. He wants you to know Him personally, so close that He talks to you. You're different than any person in the world that's ever lived or that ever will live. And you are an individual that God loves you. And there'll never be another you. God has a special plan for every person in this building. And you get to know Him through prayer and in a close relationship with Him. Prayer, praise God. Prayer is laying hold of God's exceeding great and precious promises. Prayer is getting a hold of the promises of this book. Incredible, incredible promises in this book for you. For you. Now, what if Bill Gates were to take you out to dinner, the richest man in the world, and to say, here's a checkbook for you, and there are no limits on it. Whatever you need, wherever you need to go, whatever you need for your hospital bills, for anything, just write the check. Bill Gates has already signed it. And when those checks are gone, I've got more. What if he were to do that for you? That'd be incredible, wouldn't it? Listen, this is a checkbook right here. This is a checkbook. Hallelujah. Now, the problem with Bill Gates' checkbook, it only can do what money can do. And there's so much that money can't do. I'm not going to take time to name all the things money can't do, but it can't. It's very limited. This checkbook can do anything that needs. It's got all of the answers. It's got everything you need, and it's all been signed. Oh, hallelujah. It's signed by not Bill Gates, but Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He signed it. And He gives it to you, and 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 to you. He gives it to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that incredible? And that's the truth. I haven't exaggerated it. I haven't made it a fraction of what it really is. Praise God. There's power in prayer. Incredible power in prayer that God will release His power in your prayer. Things that only God can do can be released as you touch Him through prayer. Hallelujah. Powerful, wonderful things that God wants to do in prayer. Praise God. In prayer, we can move the omnipotent, mighty hand of God. You can have God stretch out His hand in answer to your prayer. God's hand, His hands are available to you in prayer. Hallelujah. He can touch anybody in the world. He can touch any situation in the world. And that hand is available to you through the arm of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to get a hold of it and to use it. Praise God. There's power in prayer to solve the insolvable problems. You've got a problem. There's people in here tonight that got problems. In fact, you'd be shocked at how many of us have problems. I'd imagine just about everybody in here has problems of some kind, some nature. I know we're all facing situations. But those problems, regardless of what your mountain is tonight, God is wants to, through prayer, to move that mountain. He wants to move that situation. He wants to solve it. God really wants to do it. Praise God. Praise God. Prayer is not getting God to moving a reluctant God and begging Him and finally getting a reluctant God to do something. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is releasing the power of a God who wants to, who is more willing and more anxious to help you than you are to get help. He loves you more than you love yourself. God cares about you. And it's all available in prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer helps, is what touches others. You can touch anybody in this world through prayer. You can reach them through prayer. Nobody's beyond the bounds of prayer. Nobody. God, you can reach other people and change situations and change people's lives through your prayer. The most amazing thing in the world is why people don't pray. Why people pray such a little bit and like out of a job, I should pray. You should pray. That's the whole thing. Pray. That's what it's all about. That's how you get the book working for you. That's how you get in touch with God. That's how He moves through you. That's how you change people. I'm here tonight because a mother prayed. That's the only reason I'm here. You're looking at a man tonight that's here because a mother prayed. You've heard my testimony over and over. You probably can say it better than I can. But it's the truth. When I was so far away from God, couldn't be reached, working in the war in a very secret department in Washington, D.C., underground, working, doing the maps with 100 of us approximately. They were doing the maps for the bombings in Europe and Japan at that time. And I was one of them. And my mother couldn't read, but she prayed 3 days for me that God would change my life. And the Holy Spirit moved on me at 3 o'clock in the morning under a streetlight on MacArthur Boulevard in Washington, D.C. and changed my life. And nobody preached or nobody touched me. Nobody said anything, but God in heaven answered prayer. That's why I'm here. Now, there's two things that I wanted to... That was just an introduction. Now we'll have the sermon. Two things I want to impress on you about prayer tonight. And I'm going to read to you from the words of Jesus in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 7th through the 17th. Verse, the 6th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 7th verse. But when you pray, now we're going to talk about when you pray now. Do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their much words, they'll earn it. No, it doesn't work that way. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of, even before you ask Him. He knows your needs better than you know them. Sometimes He'll supply things for you you didn't even know you needed, because He knows them better than you know them. Praise God. Therefore, don't be like them. Your Father knows your needs. In this manner, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And right on He says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So He adds a dimension to prayer that stops millions of people from getting through with their prayer. Forgiveness. There are two great hindrances. There are other minor hindrances, but there are just two great things that stand in the way of your getting the miracles that you pray for. And the first one that I want to talk about tonight is the unforgiveness. The slightest unforgiveness will short-circuit your prayer. He not only says it there, and He says, because if you don't forgive, in your Lord's Prayer, He taught us an incredible principle. Forgive me as. Say as, everybody.
As.
Say it loud.
As.
Forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive me just like I forgive everybody else. You know, it's gotten awful quiet in here quick. It was so lively a few minutes ago. As, forgive me just like I forgive. If I hold little things, you hold little things. Forgive me just like I do. But you say, He's asking me for something impossible. No, I'll explain that to you in a minute, why it's not impossible to forgive. But let me just read you another to show you this is not just an isolated case. I want you to turn over to Mark's Gospel, or I'll read it for you if you don't have your Bible. In Mark's Gospel, starting at the 11th chapter and the 20th verse, Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Just the day before, Jesus had come out of Jerusalem, and he had just cursed, he was hungry, walked over to the fig tree, picked up the leaves, there were no figs, and He said, No one ever eat figs on you again. Now the next day they come by, and the fig tree's leaves are hanging, and it's dead. The limbs are drooping, the leaves are falling down, it's dead. And now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the tree that He had talked to. He talked to a tree. And Peter, remembering, said to Him, Rabbi, Lord, teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. Jesus answered and said to all of them, to the 12, Have faith in God. But assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, I don't know which one He said, Scopus, Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, whichever one it was, I don't know, there are four, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And, now He's not stopped. And, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So if you don't, you short-circuited that tremendous possibility of the mountain moving in your life. Now, Peter, and I won't take time to read that one, but Peter, in his first epistle in the third chapter, takes most of the first whole chapter, the third chapter, just to talk about a relationship in a family, husband and wives. And then he winds up at the bottom of it by after about 10 or 12 verses between the husband and wife, how they ought to get along. And then he says, that your prayers be not hindered. So your forgiveness in the home and a right relationship, it will means everything. So to begin with, you've got to ask God. Now, I've had lots of things to forgive, and you have. There's people in this audience that have incredible things to forgive in the choir and this audience. I mean, big stuff. We've all had some very, I don't go into details, but I've had some very difficult things to forgive. And Satan has worked on me not to forgive. And I'm ready to forgive him, and then Satan brings it back to your mind, but just, you remember that? And yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And you've short-circuited your prayers. This is the book.
Amen.
This is the book. This is how you write a check that won't bounce. So you have to do this. You have to say to God, I don't have the strength to forgive them. I can't. I can't forgive them. But you have got the strength. So I am going to take your forgiveness. I am asking you to give me the power, your power to forgive, because it's not in Ben Crandall. Ben Crandall is not a forgiver. But when I take Jesus' forgiveness, it pushes Ben Crandall out of sight, and I take Jesus' forgiveness. I take his forgiveness. You give me your power. I will, by your name, by your power, by your strength, I will forgive. I will forgive. I do forgive. I forgive everything. I forgive everybody. I won't have the slightest thing in me that is against anybody. Well, I forgive. Gave them, but I don't like them. Hey. You didn't forgive them. I forgave them, but I don't like them. No. I forgive them, and I love them. But you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. I know what they did to me. But God knows. And he forgave. And it's his forgiveness. He has forgiving power. And he wants to impart it to you. And he wants you to be free from the negatives that stop you from having power to do the impossible, to become the man and the woman that God has made you to be. That's a winner. Satan stops us with little things. Just a little bit of unforgiveness. Just a little bit of getting even. Just a little bit of the devil. Just a little bit of Satan's attitude. Just a little bit of what the devil wants you to do. Just a little bit will spoil your prayer life. That's why it takes so long sometimes to pray, because it takes me a long time to get clean, to really get forgiving and to be in love with everybody, to love your enemies. Somebody say, love.
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 Gotta love our enemies. That's not a joke. That's tough. But God gives us the power. God wants you to be so powerful that you no one can put you down. No circumstance can hold you under. Nobody can keep you from writing the checks, the right kind of a check out of that book that will bring the power into your life, that will bring deliverance into your life, that will bring freedom to you. Hallelujah. That will put peace. That's where the peace comes. And the great peace of God will settle over you. And hallelujah, you can look folks in the eye that have wronged you terribly, and in your heart know that you love them, because the love of Jesus comes into you. The love of Jesus comes into you. His love comes into you, and you reflect Him. You're not going to reflect the devil. You're going to reflect God. You're not going to reflect the devil part of the time and God part of the time. No, no devil, no part of Satan. No wrong spirit, no unforgiveness. You're going to reflect God all of the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Clean. We have to keep on doing that. And I've forgiven them, and all of a sudden I find out Satan is back on my back again with it. I got to forgive them again. And again, I've forgiven some people, maybe multiple times. I have to keep forgiving them. Just keep on. I'm going to forgive. I am going to be a forgiver, because the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in me, and I am not going to let the devil's attitude and thoughts stick in my heart. I am not going to do it. Don't you do it. Because the power and the reward and the blessing is incredible when you get above that. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible then for you. Then you're beginning to reach in the area where whatever you can ask and you need, it's there. Cori ten Boom told us the story. You know, she had suffered so much in the concentration camp, Ravensbrück. Her sister died. Her father was died in concentration camp, and so many of her family, she watched them beat her sister, and she died. And it was awful. She said they made us strip naked in freezing weather, and all of we women, a woman's camp, all we women stood there absolutely stark naked, and these SS troops would walk up and down between the aisles, and said we were freezing. It was so awful. And she said, I can't even tell you some of the stories she told of what she saw them do to people in the camp. But after she got out, and she was part of the head of the underground freeing the Jews, that's what she was before she went to the camp in Holland. She was the leader. She was the whole thing, the head of it. And then she went back to Germany, and back to those people and different ones, and started holding these great meetings for folks that had been in the concentration camp, and started raising money to help them. And she said a wonderful thing. She said, Pastor, the people that could forgive were healed. We could see healing. Tremendous psychological problems were healed. And they had peace, and they were healed. But the women that couldn't forgive never could get it. The ones that never would release it and turn the pain and the bitterness and the hurt over to God and forgive. She said those that could do that rose up in God and was blessed and had a clear mind, and peace came into them and they were blessed. But Satan will get into you if you will let him. Please, please listen to me tonight. Listen to me. Hatred, ill will, bad thoughts are devilish. They're from hell. They're from below. Don't accept them. Forgiveness and love and prayer is from heaven. Hallelujah. And it will lift you up into the mighty presence of God. Some of you suffer. Some of you suffer even while I'm preaching. And it's true. I don't belittle your suffering. I don't make light of your suffering. No. You're suffering. You're hurt. It's true you've been wrong. It's absolutely right. You mustn't let it get a hold of you. I beg you tonight. Don't let it get into you. Release it. Put it on the altar and ask Jesus to give you His love and rise above it through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. You're going to be a winner. It's great things for you. Hallelujah. You're going to get into where you can write powerful checks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great checks. Because God is with you. Now, I got to hurry. The next one I want to talk about is not after you've forgiven, ask God now to make you a believer. Jesus said, when you pray, forgive. And when you pray, believe. Believe. Get rid of the negatives and it will lift you. And believing becomes much easier. Becomes much easier. Much easier then, because you have a clear spirit, you have a humble spirit, you have a forgiving spirit, you've got the spirit of Jesus, and then faith can come into you, and you become a believer, and you can receive the mighty things of God. You can pray great prayers, and God will hear you. Hallelujah. And God will do marvelous, incredible things for you. And these promises are real. And He says you can move the mountains, and you can speak to situations, and you can have whatever needs. God wants to use you. He loves you. He has a plan for you, a personal plan for you. And there are two great keys to receiving His power and His blessing. One is forgiving, and the other is believing. Hallelujah. One is getting rid of the negatives, and the other is accentuating the positive, the faith, hallelujah, and the things of God, hallelujah, and believing His promises and taking them and stay in the Word till the faith comes into you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember my prayer I'll never forget. My mother prayed, and you know, I was raised with no father. You all know that. I met my father when I was a teenager. Never knew him. And my mother had a lot to forgive, and we all did. But I never had any ill will to my father, because my mother and Aunt Florence always said, no, no, no. They never put him down like that. Never, no, you, no, wouldn't let us talk about him. No way. That's your father? No way. So I grew up with no ill feeling, thanks to my mother and Aunt Florence. I had no ill will toward my father, although he deserted us, and I never met him till I was a young man. But my mother was praying. My oldest brother went to Bible school in his teenage years, later teenage years, and came home the first year terribly sick. So sick. And we had him taken to the hospital. My cousin, who was a medical doctor, took him to the hospital. And in the hospital, they gave him up and said, there's nothing we can do for him. Don't know exactly what's wrong with him, but we can't help him. And sent him back home, no help. And I can never forget how terrible he couldn't eat, could not, nothing. Just not even hardly a spoonful of milk. Could not eat anything. Dying, skin and bones, laying in the bed. So sick, so afraid he was going to die. Just a teenager. And I'll never forget the prayer meeting. My mother cried out to God for God to heal her son, her oldest son, my brother Duncan. And she prayed. I'll never forget it. And I can see her now. She got the victory and faith came into her. And she walked into that bedroom and said to my brother Duncan, you will not die. You will get well. God will heal you. You are not going to die. And soul death, you are not coming here. He's getting well. And he got well. while. It took a long time. He began to recover. Took a long time, and he got absolutely healed. Praise God. Be out of a mother's prayer. She prayed. She prayed and sought God. And I can remember how powerful it was and how it affected me as a boy to hear her say that word and to see my brother get up and get better. Hallelujah. And she just spoke faith, and she just knew he was going to be all right. And he did. He became a strong man and absolutely well man. Praise God. You know, God can do the impossible. I wish I could get this through to you tonight. I don't care what your situation is, how stark it looks. If you will do the things he says and get filled with him and get negatives out of you and the hatred out of you and the little unforgiveness and the little ill will and the judgmental spirits and all these evil negative stuff out of you and get the love of God coming into you, when you pray, your faith will reach out and you can speak to the impossible and you can speak to the mountains. Hallelujah. And they will move. And they will move. Hallelujah. Because we're serving an all-powerful God. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to leave here tonight with faith and power and determine Satan is not going to have a part of my mind or a part of my soul or a part of my life. I'm going to belong to God, and I'm going to be a power for God, and I'm going to live for God and do the work of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I was pastoring in Brooklyn as a young man in the mission. You know, we had those 48 broken chairs and a terrible, smelly little store. And it wasn't a smell of Avon either, or some great perfume. It was terrible, and no worse than I'm telling you. But I had faith, and I went down around the corner on 18th Avenue, McDonald Avenue, down in Borough Park now. And it was mostly Jewish then, but it was a mixed neighborhood then with lots of Jewish people, but mixed. But now it's totally Jewish. And rented a lot on East 3rd Street around the corner from our little mission and got a tent and put this tent up, got permission from the city of New York, which was a miracle in itself to get the tent permission. There had been a tremendous fire. 400 had died in Hartford in an awful fire back in the 40s. And nobody could get one. But they gave me permission if I did certain things, and I did it. Got it all ready, just a little tent, seat like 100 and something people, 150. It had been about like right here across there, you know. And got an electrician, had it all wired. Brought the Con Edison out to turn the power on. And the Con Edison man said to me, "Son, young man, there's no way in the world you can get power in this tent for this meeting to start. You would have had to apply to us 6 months in advance. Because we don't just come out and turn power on like that when you call us. We have to have 6 months. There's no way. We're at risk. Now I've got this little congregation. We've raised this money. We've got this tent. I've paid these electricians. I've sent out circulars. I've done promotions. I've advertised it. And we're ready to start in a matter of a few days. And the Edison Company says, it's out. No way. Impossible. He said, you know what? The only way in the world you can get power, if you go to this house next to you, it's a nice brick house next to you, and ask them to let you drill a hole in their basement and hook onto their power and run the tent meeting off of their meter for the summer. We were 8 weeks, going to be 8 weeks of meetings every night but Monday. And he said, that's the only way. He said, there's no other way. Boy, I went home, I was so down. Have you ever been down? You know what I'm talking about, down? I said, what am I going to do? And I thought, God, help me. I don't know these people. They're Jewish people. Not that I love the Jews, but, you know, they're not for gospel meetings next door, keeping them awake every night. You know, we ran late. We started at 8 and wound up at 10 and 11, you know, every night. Loud. Preaching. Loud speakers. And I prayed and I said, well, I'll had enough faith. I'll go and ask them to let us. I'll ask. All I can do is I'll go and ask. I went to the door and I'll never forget it. Never forget it. I went to the door and I knocked on the door. The lady came to the door and took one look at me and I started to say, I am. She said, bam! Slammed the door in my face. I went back to that store and fell on my knees and I prayed. I said, God, I have to have them. Let me drill a hole in their basement and connect onto their meter or we can't have these tent meetings. And what's going to happen to our church? We've told them we're going to and we've done all this. I prayed. I said, I'm going back. That was a little bit of faith. I had enough faith to pray, not to give up, but go back again. Later in the afternoon, I went back and prayed as I walked and knocked on that door. Same lady came to the door. I'm the same man. She slammed the door in my face just a couple of hours before. She opened the door and she says, come in. And Mr. Silverstein was sitting there. She said, I said, I'd like to speak to your husband. She said, fine. He's sitting down in the big easy chair. He had his legs crossed and smoking a big cigar. Mr. Silverstein was his name. Never forget him. Silverstein. Wonderful man. He said, young man, what could we do for you? I said, Mr. Silverstein, you know, I'm from this little mission around the corner. And we've got this tent up. You can see the tent right here by your house. We can't get the Edison Company to connect us. They told us the only way we can have the meeting is if you will let us drill a hole. His eyes came out on stems. Drill a hole in your basement and pull the wires through and connect on your meter. He said, yeah. And he said, well, he said, will you fix it when you're finished? I said, absolutely, we will fix it just like it is. He said, you have my permission. You go ahead. You go ahead. We kept him awake for 8 weeks. At the end of the evening, once in a while, when it was late, he'd come and say, can you please turn those speakers down a little bit? But always nice, always nice. The end of the season, I went to pay for our electric. He said, oh, no, no, no. That's my contribution to the gospel meetings. I'm paying the bills. Hallelujah. I'm paying the bill. I'm paying the bill. See, just a little faith. Enough to not give up, but to go back and knock that second time. God wants to do that for you. Don't give up. When you're praying and you're seeking God, He can move the mountains. You know, God touched that man's heart, touched that woman's heart, and made the impossible possible. He can do anything in the world. I wish I could help you to see it tonight. I would love to tell you story after story of impossible situations. When you pray simply, He opens the door There's not a door he can't open. There's not a place. There's not a thing he can't do. He said, when you pray, believe, and speak to the mountain. And those that have mountains tonight, mountains in your marriage, mountains in your finances, mountains, whatever it is, I want you tonight to write out that check in the name of Jesus and get the answer tonight, because it's available. It's available. Hallelujah. Before you pray, he said, while you pray, do two things. Forgive anybody. He said, if you have anything against anybody while you're praying for the mountain to move, forgive. Forgive totally. Forgive everything. Forgive every hard feeling. Forgive every negative thing. For every hurt feeling. For everything that's done to you. And there's a thousand things that have happened. But let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse it out of the way. And then reach up and move the mountain in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you. Bless you. And become a mighty prayer warrior and become all that God wants you to be. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please stand with me tonight. Folks, that altar call can't be any clearer. I'm not even going to add a single thing. You know that you're holding something in your heart of unforgiveness, and you want to just get that thing right. Just step out of your seats and you come to this altar, or you're in a place where you say, I've done that, I'm just needing the faith now to start believing God again. Then I'm going to invite you, just get out of your seats and you come to this altar, and we are going to stand together and pray. So whether you want to forgive somebody or whether you want to just say, God, increase that faith to believe, you just got to get up. I know that there are family members here tonight, and you have been holding unforgiveness in your heart to family members. Folks, that thing's going to destroy you. You've been in a relationship, and that relationship has gone sour, and you've been hurt by it or even been used by it. And you are not willing to forgive that individual. Folks, you're not going to walk in faith and believe God if you hold to that unforgiveness. Just get out of your seats and say, God, I've had enough. I've had enough of this thing destroying me. Just lay it down. Man, I tell you, I'm so wired I could start preaching. That was a great, great word. It's got me all fired up now. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I tell you, there's something about when the Word of God is preached, how it just stirs you on the inside to believe God. Folks, this is a great moment for you just to get out of your seats. We didn't have to try to pack the altar. It's already packed. But the invitation of the Holy Spirit is to trust God in these matters. Just jump out of your seats and come down and say, God, I'm giving it all to you. And you're going to see. It's going to be a supernatural working. Let's sing a song and then we'll pray tonight. There's one person that is not enjoying this meeting right now. There's one person that is not enjoying this meeting, hating this very moment in time, and that's the devil. The devil is not enjoying this because he sees so many that he is losing control over right now. And no longer is he going to control those thoughts and those feelings and those things that rise up. Because right now we're going to take that unforgiveness and we're going to cast that thing down to the ground. And the control that the enemy had over your thoughts and your attitudes and your feelings and your emotions is now coming to an end. Hallelujah. You're going to be able to stomp that devil under your feet. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Too long has he been ruling over you. Too long your emotions have been affected by the enemy. Raise your hands tonight. Father, we thank you that in your wonderful name, your word has been preached and it has stirred our hearts. Now, beloved, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you forgave me 2,000 years ago On the cross, you took my sins, my attitudes, my emotions, and you took all those things and you dealt with them on the cross. Now, Lord, I take any and every unforgiveness in my heart and I give it up. In Jesus' name, I give it up. In Jesus' name, I give it up. In Jesus' name, and I forgive. In your power and your love, I declare those people forgiven. Say it again, forgiven. Hallelujah. Now give him praise. Glory be to Jesus. Ah. Hallelujah. Forgiven. And now we're open to begin to let faith begin to grow. Hallelujah. The devil, stomp the devil under your foot right now. Just stomp under your foot. The devil is under your feet tonight. Hallelujah. Now let's pray. Father, let faith increase. I open my checkbook, your word, and I am open to new and fresh promises from God. Hallelujah. I believe your word. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a word for you tonight. You are going to pray promises for those people you've just forgiven. Not only are you going to get blessed, but your blessing is going to flow over to them. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you right now. Just ask the Holy Spirit to give you a fresh and filling of the power of His Spirit right now. Just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, just come fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the disciples were baptized with the Holy Ghost over and over again. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now that we can be freshly filled with the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this word preached. Thank you for the deliverance tonight. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for people being set free. Glory be to Jesus. That thanks wouldn't have moved one brick off the walls of Jericho. Come on, let's give God thanks tonight to cause the walls to come down. Hallelujah.